You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's July 30th, 2026, and welcome to episode 193 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program today. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the new game from Nintendo, Splatoon Raiders. As always, though, let's kick things off with a look at the news. Today's headline, Xbox and PlayStation networks are hit with massive outages. This story comes courtesy of Polygon, and Sony's PlayStation Network experienced significant issues on Friday morning that affected everything from signing in to play games. The outage came right before the weekend when players were jumping on to check out the Marvel Token Open Beta. That's the new fighting game. The story goes on to say, quote, "The downtime couldn't have come at a worse time for the PlayStation maker. The company is still receiving significant backlash over its announcement that it'll stop supporting physical games on its platform by 2028. Since then, PlayStation fans have filled comment sections for virtually every announcement around Sony games and hardware with pleas for the company to reverse its direction. Most services were up and running through by the end of the day on Friday. Then, on Monday, Xbox suffered its own outages that lasted a good chunk of that day, preventing players from being able to sign in, view their library, or launch some games and apps, even single-player offline games. Xbox Chief Technology Officer Scott Van Vliet posted on Twitter, "Earlier today, many players began experiencing issues with sign-in, enumerating their game libraries, and playing games. The team has worked hard throughout the day to fix the issue, and we've restored services as of 2:30 p.m. Nonetheless, this is an unacceptable situation, and we must do better to support you." He went on to say, "Over the coming weeks, you'll hear more from me about our services, our platform, and the work that we're doing to make Xbox better. And that starts with some transparency about this incident." End quote. He went on to go into detail about the outage, what caused it, how they resolved it. Both of these incidents, though, really show how vulnerable these networks are and how the all-digital future that we seem to be racing towards will be particularly susceptible to these downtimes. If nothing else, it would be great to see both of these companies working to ensure that when this happens again in the future, that players will be able to access their digital libraries and their downloaded games offline. Despite really not being much of an online multiplayer kind of guy, I really like the Splatoon games. The gameplay is unique. The world and the presentation are colorful and fun, and they made playing online against strangers as seamless and pain-free as possible for someone like myself who finds putting on a headset and talking to other people online to be just about the most miserable experience that there is. Still, though, I generally prefer single-player games, so I was very interested when they announced Splatoon Raiders, a game purely focused on single player, or if you prefer, co-op with a couple of friends. I wasn't quite sure what form the game would take. You know, would this be a big open world kind of adventure type of game, or, you know, more of like a level-based 3D Mario style of game? Ultimately, they landed on what I think is probably like the best option available. It's basically Nintendo's take on a looter shooter. Maybe with a little bit of extraction shooter DNA in there as well. The story in the game is pretty slight, you know, but like the previous games, the characters and the world building are really what carry the weight of it. You play as a pilot slash mechanic on a plane full of treasure hunters, and after your plane goes down in the ocean, you and your crew build a sort of a floating fortress or base of operations so that you can hunt for scrap and treasure to help you get back home. Your crew are a fun trio of characters. Shiver and Fry are a spunky pair that remind me a bit of the Squid Sisters from previous games. And Big Man is a big old manta ray character. And all three of these characters assist you on your missions in different ways. But I'll get to that in a second. So you've got a world map where you will choose your level. And as you progress, more of the map will open up. For most of the levels, your objective is to find the treasure chest at the end. The levels are, you know, slightly open, I would say. So if you want to find everything, you're going to have to do a bit of exploring and looking around. You'll be finding everything from crystals or shards, which are kind of the currency of this world, and new weapons, crafting materials, and compasses, which will point you towards new hidden islands and levels on the map. Before you jump into a level, though, you got to choose your loadout. You choose your weapon, which, you know, looks to mostly be a selection of the same kind of weapons from previous games. You know, you've got your pistol type guns, your automatic weapons, the big paintbrush and the giant roller. Then you get to pick your companion. Like I said, Shiver, Fry, and Big Man can each accompany you on missions in this little mechanical robot or droid, which you can use for drilling for crystals, giving you an extra boost to jump up in the air, and most importantly, a powerful attack that you can use by charging up a meter during combat. These are kind of the Splatoon equivalent of a Final Fantasy summon spell, and it's different for each of the characters. Like, one summons a giant shark that fills up like half the screen and will destroy almost anything in front of it, while another rains eels down all over the battlefield. They're pretty cool. You'll also pick gadgets, which unleash special attacks, which are on a cooldown meter, and relics, which you can find in different levels and equip to give you stat boosts. It's actually like quite a bit to customize and keep track of, and pretty much everything can be upgraded back on the raft, where you can also like craft new upgrades. You really, really get to build out your character into whatever, you know, play style you prefer, which is neat. There are other mission types, like time-based levels where you need to defeat all the enemies before the clock runs out, or challenge levels where they pick your loadout for you and you need to make it to the end of the course. As far as the enemies go, you know, you'll be blasting the same kind of ugly fish creatures from the salmon run modes that they've done in other games. And, you know, for the most part, it comes down to just, you know, just keep shooting and blast the hell out of everything before they can bum rush you. But they do introduce more complex enemies as you progress, like ones that you'll have to like stun and then sneak around the back and shoot them from behind, or ones that are, you know, maybe in flying saucers that you need to shoot from above. I think maybe the smartest thing that they did here is that they really didn't try to reinvent the wheel or force a bunch of mechanics into this to make it into something that it's not. They focused on the most important things in a Splatoon game, which are the core mechanics and the world that they've built. And because of that, this looks and feels like a game that can comfortably sit right alongside the other games. It looks great, sounds great, and is a lot of fun to play. It manages to be surprisingly deep with loads of customization and gear to unlock, but it's also really good to just jump into quick for a half an hour to do a couple of levels. Like I like doing that before work or right after work or before bed. I'm having a blast with Splatoon Raiders. I think I'm going to be playing it for a while. It really scratches that Splatoon itch that I love, but is more focused on a player like me that likes single player games. So definitely one to check out. Continues. Gosh, I'm just like 5 weeks away from sending my first kid off to college, and it's starting to get real, man. We're buying all of the supplies, you know, that somebody needs when they're moving out on their own for the first time. You know, you got to get bed sheets and bathroom supplies and kitchen stuff and lamps. And this week we went through one of the biggest steps of that process of all, and that is securing student loans. If you have not had the pleasure the pleasure of this experience yet as a parent, let me tell you, it sucks. It's awful. Of all the things that I have gone through as a parent, and you go through a lot as a parent, this is easily in the top five most stressful experiences that I've gone through. You know, it's complicated. There's a lot to learn about and a lot to figure out. There are a million lenders to choose from that all have different rules and rates and payback plans and all that. Not to mention that you are helping your child to navigate one of, if not possibly the biggest financial decision of their lives. That's a lot of stress. I am so excited for this part of his life to begin. I can't wait to see it. But holy cow, I'm ready for this particular part to be done. Finally this week, I've known the guys over at Nintendo Dads for a really long time. We all kind of started in podcasting at roughly the same time. They've got a great show, and they've grown a great community over there. They've done almost 600 episodes in over 10 years of podcasting, which is very, very impressive. Well, last week they hit another major milestone when Nintendo Dad Jesse became the very first Nintendo Grandpa. Right in the middle of episode 589, Jesse got word of the birth of his grandchild. I believe it was a boy, and even shared the first photo of the baby during their stream. He got the news right there when they were talking. That is super cool. So congratulations to Jesse and to the new parents on this awesome news. It's weird, you know, I'm roughly the same age as those guys, and it's kind of wild to be getting to that point where, you know, we're now starting to become grandparents or getting close to that point. You know, we had both started shows about the idea of being gamers who were dads, and now he's a grandpa. So that's awesome. You know, hopefully one day, not now, but one day in the future, I'll be able to share that kind of news. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week. And don't forget to save.